final hour. Darren, Donick, and Chase here on this Thursday afternoon. Darren McFarland, Willie Donick, and Chase McCabe with you. Let's just keep this train rolling down the tracks. Mark Dominic, former NFL GM, started the third hour. You just heard Master P and his son Hersey Miller, who just committed to TSU, also in the third hour. Now we start the final hour with the one and only Petey, Brent Peterson. He's a Hall of Famer on our show, that is for sure. And he now joins us. Brent, how you doing?
Doing good. How you guys all doing?
How was your Frosty last night?
You know what? I didn't go because you got to win. You get it with four, but you got to win the game. So I have to wait till tomorrow night, I guess.
Oh, so I did not know there was a caveat with that. So it's got to come in a Predators victory.
Yeah, you got to win the game.
Okay. What was your observation? Obviously, you've been a part of the games like that where, unfortunately, you know, it looks like you're in control and they get away, in this case, late, whether you were on the bench coaching or whether you were playing. Predators in control midway through the third period. They're up 4-1. Everything looks really, really good, Brent. And then the next thing you know, it's a tie game.
Well, I just thought they just quit for the 2 minutes. As soon as we scored the fourth goal early in the right away in the first shift of the third period, we just stopped playing hard and we stopped taking the body. We were swinging on our checks and they let guys go. They let them get a 2-on-1 and, you know, give and go to people. And they had a couple other chances that used to make some great saves on before that. And then they got 3 goals in a matter of a couple of minutes. And then as we settled down a little bit, we had some chance. I just watched the game over again this morning. It was just on Bally's here. And it was, we still had some chances later on, but, you know, when you're in this league, the league's so good that everybody could do things like that, and Chicago Blackhawks had to have the firepower to do that, especially when we let them do that. I blame it mostly on us because we quit working, we couldn't skate, and then as soon as they got 4-4, we realized, oh, we better get going, and they're fine again. But the three, they had already done the damage, and then UC, he would have liked to have that last shot back from the outside up. I think it was, I can't remember who scored for them, but in the overtime, he needed to stay up a little bit longer. So, but he's playing great, and the team's playing very well, and it's just too bad they had the one little 3 minute lapse.
What? So how do you do that? Because John Hines tried to call the timeout. When they got it within 4-3, you're thinking that's a really good timeout. Settle everybody down. Yeah. You're still up. And like I said, you know, it's only natural, right? When you think, heck, we're all watching and we're all thinking the same thing. Like, this one's in the bag. And so you don't think that, you know, once again, we've tried to tell people, athletes are not robots. They are human beings too. And it's natural just to kind of let your guard down and think that you're in control too. How do you try to – what's the best way you tried as a coach to try to snap them back into it and say, hey, guys, this game is not over. You know, you can't let this get away from us. Like, how did you approach that?
There's nothing you can say or even do to wake a team up that's playing well for the last month and, you know, up 4-1 with some great goals and then just try to get them back because you could see it coming right away. We started letting them get out of their own end easily. They kept coming through the neutral zone with speed. And they started taking the play over with. And as soon as they got that one goal to make it 4-2, we'd be still two up. As soon as they got that goal, I looked over at my wife and said, we're going to lose this game if we don't get going here. And sure enough, they went bang, 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 and they got one in overtime. That's all they needed. So it was good we got a point because they did have a chance at the very end there. At least we got one point. But, you know, it's hard. There's nothing a coach could do. You could talk on the bench. You could talk in between games. We got to be more secure. Anyway, we just have to make the right decisions. You got to have good puck decisions because, you know, we were trying back passes when we were up 4-1. We were going down behind their net. And you got to know the score. If it's 4-1 to the other team, you sure you want to put everything on them. But you can't do that when you're up 4-1. You got to know the game. You got to know the situation in the game, and you got to do the right things on the ice.
The penalty kill got off to such a rough start to the season. The first month, it was last in the league, but really during this last month and a half or so, it has been outstanding. They had a huge 4-minute penalty kill after Chicago had tied it up, and Chicago was very good on the power play. In this run, where they've won all these games in this window, like I said, over the last 5 weeks or so. What have you seen that's been working really well on the penalty kill and why they've had so much success?
Well, there's a couple of things. Number one, your goalie's always your best penalty killer, and Yusik's been fantastic at stopping rebounds and that kind of thing. But they're doing a little bit of better job up front, up top, where teams score from the point. So they've been rotating guys. When the guy goes down the wall, our guys chase him down the wall, and then he makes a pass back to the point. And we bring the guy from the other side across where he's got no angle. And they've done some technical things really well. And it's really hard to start off a year with a bunch of new players and new coaches for the special teams. And the power play is the thing that's bothering me right now. The penalty kill has been fantastic. That four-minute penalty last night, they could have scored easily, got two goals, and won the game then. And they ended up winning anyways. But at least it gave us a point. But the penalty kill has been fantastic. They win draws and they get it down the ice right away. That's number one thing. And they got to rely on UC. UC's got to make some saves on the power play. He's been terrific for a good month now doing those kind of things. And I just think that the entire team has played very well, but the special teams were so bad early. Now the penalty killing is not allowing any goals, and we're allowing one and two goals a game instead of three and four and five goals a game. We're not going to win the 5-4 games, and we need the 2-1 games to win that way, and we should have. So done again last night. Now it makes tomorrow night even more important.
We're talking to Brent Peterson, Predators analyst. And Brent, you mentioned the power play. They have Tolvanen back, so that's a big piece. Hopefully they'll get Forsberg back before too long here. I'm not sure I don't think he'll be in there tomorrow. But Brent, let's just take Tolvanen. And if you're game planning as the guy in charge of the penalty kill, and you're trying to scout Tolvanen, tell us about all of the options that he brings, because he's certainly been a game changer for them when he's been on.
Well, the thing about it is when you see our D-men walking the line, you know that good things are going to happen. Like, they stand there, the guy can get on the right angle and keep you out of where you want to go. You got to walk down in the middle of the ice, but nobody comes to you, shoot it, and you have two go in the net. Second option is over to Forsberg on the right side. He comes and curls up and either shoots it or goes cross ice or to Tolvanen or down low to probably Duchesne, and then out to so they got the low plays, they got high plays, they got all kinds of different options. But you have to go and execute it. So I can tell you, you know, you can do this, you can do that, you got to go and execute it. And we just haven't since Tolvanen has been out, we have about one goal, and he got one last night, but it wasn't on the power play. But I think that the power play is it's very, very mental. Like, we didn't get set up last night. We didn't get this set up ever. We haven't been set up for a long time. Just getting set up. And when we do, we make shots at the pads and no screen. And so the power play, I think we're 5-5 and penalty comes in great. The power play has really struggled a lot lately. We're going to need it to score a goal through a game here coming up when we play Carolina, those kind of teams that are so good on the power play, so good on the penalty. So much pressure on the penalty gun from those guys. But tomorrow night, you got to get set up. I see even Chicago now. They're looking at the film. And they're going, geez, these guys are really good. They're going to have a tough time when people pressure them. Well, sure enough, last night they were pressuring them right down ice, and they almost scored a couple goals, short handed goals. So we just have to be a lot more. They have all kinds of breakouts. We got to get breakout. So we got to win the draw first because we get back to the point and start over. Start with the puck. Then you got to break out. You got to do all those things right. You got to do so many things right before you can score a goal. So, and we just haven't done the right things, and we haven't executed it at all. And so, I think it goes in stretches. It goes in different. You know, when you get three goals in two games, and then you get no goals in five games, and then you get three goals in five games, and you get no goals. It's up and down, and it's got to be more consistent. Number one, number two is they got to shoot the puck. When you're in the middle of the ice and you got nobody in front of you, you shoot the puck and you go get the rebound. We've been trying to move it around because we made some nice plays in Tolvanen when he was here, and he does shoot pretty well. He's a left shot playing the other side, which is not a one-timer, but he turns and shoots it so well. But other teams are going to scout that, so you have to have other options. So, if I'm a penalty killing coach on the other team, I'm saying, D-man, you step out on Tolvanen even before he gets that puck. We'll leave somebody else down low because, you know, he wants to shoot the puck. He's a shooter. I'd be all over him all night long.
We love stories about guys like who are undrafted free agents. I remember you would talk a lot about Scott Nichol when he was coming into the league, and you know what it took for him to make it. You helped identify Vern Fidler back in the day. I'm curious what you see about Tanner Janot, another undrafted guy, and of all people, it was Scott Nichol. I remember telling me a couple years ago, he said, keep an eye on this guy. You know, this guy's got something. You know, it's taken him a while. You don't get handed anything when you're undrafted. But he's made a good first impression here. What do you think?
I think this is great. I think the whole fourth line is a so-called fourth line. The guy was on TV last night, and I was listening to him saying, that national fourth line is the best fourth line he's seen in a long time. And to me, they're not even a fourth line. They're second or third line some nights. But Olivier and Trennan, and we all know Sid is a pretty good two-way player, but those guys in Janot, they play great. They've held on to the puck. They made the other team take it off them. They don't throw it away. They win the battles on the boards. They go to the net. They shoot the puck. They're not scared to shoot it. And they're doing everything like you're supposed to be doing it, and that's why they're playing so well. And they're good on cycles. They're good on puck protection. And that's really what you need in a playoff game. And they're big guys who can skate. If you're a little guy and you can't skate, can't play. If you're a little guy and you're tremendously talented, you can play. But these are big guys that can play. And they're not just fourth liners just to fill in. They play well, and they deserve the ice time they've gotten. And I love all four of them. I think they're all great players for role players. They're great players for us.
Brent, in the days when you would have the meeting, even if you didn't go on the ice, I don't know if they're going on the ice today or not. If they do, it probably won't be for very long. But this team's been sailing along, right? They've had a lot of positive things. They feel good about how they're playing. And then they had that hiccup last night that we've been talking about. They haven't had a lot of those here recently. So what would be your mindset coming in today at the meeting, knowing that you got to get back out there and play the same team tomorrow?
I'd show them two clips of them scoring goals, going to the net, and I'd show them two clips of them letting their guy go to the net. So it's good and bad. Not good and bad, but just good and something they can improve upon. And I get the power play, get out of the meeting for 5 minutes, and then get out of there, and we get ready for tomorrow night. And the most important period of the year will be the first period tomorrow night, because if they come out and just roll over the Hawks, things will be all forgotten, but the Hawks will be ready to play, and they'll be the way we played those 3 minutes. We let them go walk D to D and give and goes and all those kind of wide open nets and three men behind the net and two not covering anybody. So I think tomorrow night will be a real real important key. Will be the start of the first period and how they go. So far they've done very well. I've really been impressed with the way the kids have played all year. They played very well, and in fact, I texted David one night. I said, "Play the kids all the time. Don't play anybody else. Just play the kids." He laughed at me. So everybody laughs at me. So that's where he's going.
Oh, we're never.
We're laughing with you.
Yes,
I heard that before.
We're talking to Brent Peterson, longtime Predators associate coach, and you talk about the kids and how they've developed. What does that say about Carl Taylor and his staff in Milwaukee and what they've been able to do over the last few years in developing these guys to get them ready for this moment in the NHL?
Yeah, they've done a great job. And that's only been the last couple of years that we've had it. Scotty Nichols been in charge of putting people into as the general manager of Milwaukee and getting the right people set up for the farm club that can play in the NHL someday and help out. And I mean, Tolvanen's a completely different player. And then you got all of the fourth line, Trennan and Olivier and Janot and all these guys and Carrier and they've done a terrific job of teaching these guys how to play the game right. They're big and they can skate, and that's what I love. I love when you get big size guys for playoffs. Because little guys, they can be okay in the playoffs, but boy, when it gets down to a grind, you want a big guy that's 6'2", that can 200 pounds, that can, instead of a 5'5" guy or 5'6" guy. You could have one or two of those, like our Arby's a great little player. You can't have six or seven guys like that. You get too much banging and crashing in the playoffs, and their bodies just can't handle it. So I like the big, strong, fast. And you still got to be able to play. And you still got to be fast. And you still got to be able to skate. But big guys are better for playoffs. And, LA Kings used to have that kind of. They're kind of slower, but I just like the big guys that can skate, and then that makes it easier on your team.
Brent, what have you seen out of Matt Duchesne since he's been back the last three games? I know he scored one, but what have you seen overall out of him?
Same thing I saw Joy. Joy and Duchesne have both been maligned here in town here about, you know, making so much money and not doing the job. But you know what? They've tried very hard. I've watched it. They work hard. The puck luck is unbelievable. I mean, Duchesne went in when it was 4-4 last night. Yeah, in overtime, and he made a backhand, shift to his backhand. He's in on goal all alone, and the guy makes a good save on him. He just can't buy a goal. And so I think they're trying to do things, but I think we're past the point of, for me, they're past the point of saying, hey, listen, just working hard doesn't count anymore. We need some definite production from you somehow. And if you don't get it, you can put in somebody else who's doing the job. But look at Yarncroft's got 12 goals. I think he's just barely passed. That's how much we miss Forsberg. Forsberg, he's been out for, what, 2 months, and he still was our league goal scorer until last night when Nurjanni got his 12th. But I just think that Duchesne's been good, but he hasn't been great. And I think we need him to be great, and he's been okay. And same with Joey. Joey's been really well. He's worked hard, and just nothing's gone in for him. So, you sort of feel bad for the guy because he's tried hard, but We really need some production for both of them, or we won't go anywhere.
Do you feel like that even though Luke Cunningham has battled, you know, some injuries, but now he's starting to come into form and be the player that David Poile and the Predators traded for?
I think so. I think he's a good little player, and he goes hard and he goes to the net and he scores goals. He's not afraid of anybody. And I think the line has really, really meshed together to be a real strong line, and they've done a real good job at, you know, Yarny and the little guy in the middle there, 64, he's a pretty good little player boy. He comes back, he bangs in the corners for a little guy, he's not that small, I guess. But I just finished ranting about being bigger, but I'd have this guy on my team anytime. Yarny, all those guys, they score goals, they do penalty killing for you, they can play roles, they can play up and down. They've done a great job of keeping us together during this time when we've had so many injuries. They've just done a great job for us.
Are we going to be able to play golf this year and help a great cause?
We're going to do that. Yeah, we're going to do it. September 13th is going to be the date. So we're going to try to do it again like we did last year. And if they allow us to dinner. If not, we'll have to wait for another year for a comedian to come in. But we're working on getting a comedian right now, and we love to have everybody come out and have a good time with us. And the comedians have been fantastic. Chaz scores. He's got his comedians all the time for us. And he's looking for one right now. And we're just going to wait to see what the rules and the things, how things go on down in Davidson County there, where we're at Bridgestone Arena. And we'll have a good golf tournament for Petey's party. And we'll have a good time again.
Love it. Love to hear that. Brent, thank you for the visit. Great to hear your voice. And we'll chat with you down the road, okay?
All right, guys. Thanks. I appreciate it. Take care.
That is Brent Peterson. That is good news.
Thanks, Petey.
You got to love the energy, right? He's in there. He's a lot of detail in what
Petey's
he said there about a lot
of
little things.
If somebody told you that they needed his energy up, then you'd probably look at him side-eyed and be like, you don't know Brent Peterson, do you? What do you mean? Let's pick the energy up. Come on.
I think I've told you this story before, guys. It was a preseason game probably 3-4 years ago. And I was, usually I'm sitting down in the barrel house with Darren, but for whatever reason, I went upstairs and was watching from Media Row, and I was sitting next to Brent. And by the end of the game, my arm was probably about to fall off because every time Yakov Trenin hit the ice, he's like, watch Trenin, watch him. I like this kid. Like, he was just ranting and raving about him, but it cracked me up because it was just every time I'd feel him grab my arm, like, watch him. Go watch him. Look how he goes after the puck.
Well, that line was good again last night.
I was going to say, if you'd have been around him last night when he blew up Murphy, I'm sure Brent was grabbing Tammy's arm or somebody's arm because he blew Murphy up behind the net. Let me talk to you. We appreciate Brent Peterson for joining us. I want to talk to you right now about the big weekend that is in store for UFC 261. Yes, Masvidal and Usman. Yeah, they put on a show last time when they stepped in the octagon, and they plan on putting on a show again this weekend. And DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the UFC, is putting you right in the center of all this weekend's title fight. That's right. Pick either main event fighter to win UFC 261. There's a title on the line. There is. This is going to be a lot of fun and a lot of talking between these two. They do not like each other. And DraftKings Sportsbook is going to give you 26-1 odds. Let me say that again. You're just going to bet $5 on either fighter to win. And if they walk away with the belt, you cash $130. There's no better way to put your MMA knowledge to the test than to put your money where your mouth is. All you have to do is download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app right now. Use that code 1025GAME. And when you sign up, turn $5 into $130. If the title contender of your choice wins UFC 261. That code again, 1025GAME. Remember, this is for a limited time. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook. You must be 21 years of age or older. Tennessee only. Restrictions do apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line, 1-800-889-9789.